1 Kings chapter 10, please. 1 Kings chapter 10. Be looking at some other passages, but always returning here. So if we leave, just hold your place and come back. I'd like to speak to you tonight about the Queen of Sheba. Bet you never heard a message on the Queen of Sheba, perhaps. 1 Kings chapter 10, verses 1 to 13. Parallel passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verses 1 to 12. You don't need to turn there. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 42, Christ mentions Queen of Sheba, apparently a parallel passage, Luke 11:31. So in those four places, you can read about the Queen of Sheba. How does she tie into the scriptures? And what applications are in this story for us tonight? I hope we can find something that'll be a blessing to you in this passage. Queen of Sheba. Sheba. It's debated about where that is. If you look in your Bible at the Red Sea, you know it's got two fingers up going toward the north before it gets up to the Mediterranean Sea. And the right finger, as you look at the Bible, is called the Aqaba. What is the? The Gulf. That's right. The Gulf of Aqaba. And maybe where the children of Israel crossed over the Red Sea. A lot of people are starting to think that, and there's some good evidence that that may indeed be the case. Some think that her country was down at the bottom of the Red Sea, right before the Indian Ocean there. And to the west would be Ethiopia, to the right would be Yemen. And so people disagree on where that might be. Yemen was certainly in the south and it extended all the way to the shore. And when the Lord referred to her, he called her the queen of the south and talked about the uttermost parts of the world. So it could have been the uttermost parts of the then known world, that continent. They got down to the sea in the south. And so maybe it was Yemen. Maybe it was across the sea over to the west. And it would be the queen of, in that time, Abyssinia. It's Ethiopia now on our map. And she would have been the queen in the chief city, Meroe, which was an island in the Nile River. It doesn't matter which of those you take. It'd be hard to be dogmatic about either, but one or the other, most likely. It was about 1,200 miles that she would have to travel to go to Jerusalem. 1,200 miles, and that would not be an easy trek. She lived in the 10th century B.C. That would be about 900 years before the Lord Jesus Christ. 900 years. This lady from a pagan culture going to see Solomon. You wonder, well, why? If she was referred to in Arabic, her name would be Balkis. And in Ethiopia, she would be called Makeda. Makeda. As a queen, you would expect that she would probably be a woman of means. She would have riches, wealth. Why did she go to Jerusalem? That's a good question to start with. Probably she had heard, well, not probably, but the text says that she had heard of Solomon here in verse 1, chapter 10, verse 1. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she would have heard through merchants, ambassadors that would go into the court of Solomon. There were ships that would come down from one of the ports in that Gulf of Aqaba called Ezion Geber. And they would come down and they would be merchant ships that she would be familiar with, the same ships that would dock up close to Israel. And so she probably heard there in the seaport. Fame is defined in verse 7. She heard of his fame. What fame? Verse 7 says, "Howbeit, I believe not the words until I came and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half had not been told. Thy wisdom and thy prosperity." There's the fame. Wisdom and prosperity. You remember that Solomon asked for, when he was asked to get, you know, tell me something you want, I'll give you whatever you, what did he ask for? Wisdom. And the Lord said, I'll give you all of the things you didn't ask for too. And he gave him the riches. So he was rich beyond our comprehension. As we'll see, I want us to look just a minute at his wealth. Look at verse 14. He had an abundance of wealth. And it's revealed in verse 14. Now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 666. 666 talents of gold. A talent is 75 pounds. So he got 75 pound talents. 666 of them in a year would come to him by boat, perhaps. And that would be about 25 tons of gold. What would that be worth on today's market? Where an ounce sells for what? $1,100, $1,200, $1,500. An ounce of gold. So money beyond our comprehension. If we had just 1 year's worth of Solomon's gold, we could pay off the national debt easily. Talents of gold. Verse 4 tells what she saw when she came. Did I read verse 15? Let me do that first. Beside that, he had of the merchant men and of the traffic of the spice merchants and all of the kings of Arabia and the governors of the country. And on and on and on it goes. Solomon had, he was a king who exacted taxes from others, and also kings would come and bring him things to stay in his good favor because of his power. Now go to verse 4, back to verse 4. And when the queen of Sheba had seen, and there are a number of things mentioned, but I want you to notice in verse 4, the house that he had built. When she'd seen the house that he'd built, and verse 5, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendants of his ministers, and their apparel, and the cupbearers, and his accent, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. It was just breathtaking. It was breathtaking. Now, you have to remember that she's a woman of wealth, too. And this is a very wealthy woman, and she's just spellbound by what she sees. Look back to verse 2. It says, and she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. Down to verse 10. You like the way I'm skipping all around to tell this story? Verse 10, and she gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices, very great store and precious stones, and there came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to Solomon. So this was the spices. You like spicy food? Solomon had spices, and all of his table ate from these spices from the queen of Sheba. Now, so that's his wealth, but being a wealthy woman herself, it's not likely that she came primarily for the purpose of feasting her eyes upon Solomon's collection of wealth. There must have been something else, and I think there was. She had heard of Solomon's wisdom, and she wanted to test it for herself. She had a hard time believing this, as she says. Word of Solomon's wisdom had traveled actually to the ends of the earth. Look at verse 24. And all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. Everybody heard about Solomon's wisdom. How could a man be that wise? I mean, there are a lot of smart people in the world in that era, I'm sure. But this man outshined them all. People thought this is unbelievable wisdom. She wanted to see if what she had heard was truth. Again, to verse 1. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. With hard questions. Solomon's wisdom, though, in this verse is related to, or is related by those who heard about it, to the Lord. They must have heard that the Lord gave him this wisdom. Or that this wisdom, as they heard about it, just didn't seem confined to the human scope of wisdom. It went beyond that. beyond human wisdom. The queen found that Solomon was wiser than she heard. Look at verse 2, the latter part of the verse. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. Verse 3, and Solomon told her all her questions. In other words, he answered all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. Verse 4, and when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, and I know there are other things there, but go to the latter part of verse 5, there was no spirit in her. There was no spirit in her. It was phenomenal. She couldn't believe what she was hearing. Verse 6, and she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thine acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. In other words, I didn't hear half of what it was. Thy wisdom and thy prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Verse 8, happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. What a privilege to be around you, she said, and hear your wisdom. Now, this woman was a pretty smart woman, don't you think? She asked hard questions. Well, if you wanted to test somebody's knowledge and their wisdom, then you would need to be smart enough to ask intelligent questions and then to know if you were hearing a true answer or just a smokescreen, wouldn't you? But she was convinced. No doubt the wisdom of Solomon would have piqued her curiosity, I think. She wanted to see his wealth. She wanted to see his wisdom. But do you think there was something more? I would suggest to you that there was something more. We know that she had also heard of Solomon's God. She connects in verse 1 his wisdom with his Lord, with Jehovah God. It says in verse 1, and when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, concerning the name of the Lord. The Lord is all caps, Jehovah, concerning Jehovah. She associated what she had heard and seen, she associated that with Solomon's God. Now there's a message here for us. There's something that you and I need to pick up here. Family Bible Commentary says the highest honor and the noblest fame is that which relates to the name of Jehovah, and the greatest wisdom consists in learning and doing his will. David the psalmist wrote, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, a good understanding, having all they that do his commandments, his praise endureth forever. I want you to look at verse 4 again. And when the queen of Sheba had seen, go to the end of verse 5, his ascent by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. So I've just kind of taken all of them out of verse 4 and applied the same words to. She saw things that to her were just unbelievable. Unbelievable. Seems to suggest that she saw more than stairs leading up to the temple, doesn't it? Some of the old versions in other languages have the words, and his burnt offering which he offered in the house of the Lord. So she may have seen that. Solomon was, he would have been the perfect teacher though. He had wisdom, he had knowledge. He would be able to talk to her about how his people were chosen of Jehovah, how they were issued wonderful promises that they had seen fulfilled. And even this that she looks at is part of the blessing of Jehovah upon his people. That he would have been able to talk about how they were instructed pertaining to the Levitical priesthood and the sacrifices that would be made. He would be able to give her the meaning of those sacrifices, the meaning of the sacrificial system having to do with sin and how God, his God, could forgive sin. It would have been a part of this time that she spent, this tour that she had taken with Solomon. It says in verse 9, blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he king, made he thee king to be to do judgment and justice. There's a parallel passage I'll read that goes right along with that verse. It's in 2 Chronicles 9 and verse 8. Blessed be the Lord God, which delighteth in thee to set thee on his throne to be king for the Lord. To be king for the Lord thy God, it says. Because thy God loved Israel to establish them forever. Therefore made he thee king over them to do judgment and justice. Now, I just want to call your attention to this. I've gone a long way around to say everything that she saw, she associated it with God. His wisdom, his riches, his house, his ascent to the Temple Mount, whatever he taught her there. She associated what she saw with Solomon's God, Jehovah. Solomon was wise, he was prosperous, and he knew Jehovah. And the Queen of Sheba believed that Israel was blessed of God by having Solomon rule over them. Solomon was blessed of the Lord to be called their king, she said. Everything she said seems to relate what she saw to Solomon and to the Lord and to the Lord. So what's the result of her journey? There are those who believe that the Queen of Sheba became a follower of Jehovah. Now, they can't prove that with Scripture. The Bible just doesn't say. But there are extra-biblical sources that say that she became a believer. But there's not sufficient evidence here in the Scripture. There is an Ethiopian legend that says the Queen of Sheba was a convert to Judaism as a result of her visit, that she left Jerusalem pregnant with a child by Solomon, that upon returning home she made a decree that only males would sit on her throne after her, that a lineage can be produced to prove that such was the case up until the time of Christ, that Psalm 45 is a prophecy of these events, that the Ethiopian eunuch 900 years later would come and worship at Jerusalem, and he would meet Philip on his way home and accept the Lord and be baptized, you remember, Acts chapter 8. He came seeking, perhaps, according to this legend, because the Queen of Sheba took faith in Jehovah back to her land. And she was from Ethiopia. Others believe that the pagan queen went back to her pagan people and she remained as she was. And they base that upon the fact that there's no solid biblical evidence. Well, can we hear? The Bible doesn't say one way or another, so can we listen to the extra biblical? Yeah, we can consider those. I want us to learn a couple of lessons. I hope I can tie these into what you just heard. When God gives you a gift, any gift, like he gave to Solomon wisdom, he will use that gift to create opportunities for you to bring glory to him. You see how he did that with Solomon? He gave him wisdom, and the word went out, and people were dazzled by what they saw and what they heard, and it was an opportunity for him to talk of his God, talk of Jehovah. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, why don't you turn to 1 Corinthians, chapter 12 and verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. When I say 1 Corinthians 12, you should be thinking spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are there in chapter 12. And it gives us some instruction about those gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. In other words, everybody. The gifts are given to profit all the believers, all the brothers and sisters. They're gifts that we exercise in the body of Christ. They should call attention to our Lord. Our gift, your gift, should call attention to our Lord. Do you know what your gift is? What do you do for the Lord? What can you do? You can do whatever He empowers you to do. And you need to discover that, as we have said before. Verse 8 in 1 Corinthians 12 says, "For to one is given the spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." God gives everybody a gift. It's not something that you were trained in. It's not something that's a natural talent. It doesn't necessarily have to do with your aptitude. God gives you a gift. And you should use your gift, like Solomon's gift called people to this, to behold what God was doing in his life, and Solomon had an opportunity to glorify God. Our gifts should do the same thing. You know Solomon's wisdom was a gift, right? Yeah. I want to say, secondly, as in way of an application, the world recognizes wisdom as from God. I could give a couple of examples of that. Do you remember the craftsman who worked for Moses in building the tabernacle? And they had wisdom and the ability to do all sorts of things. And where did they get that? The Bible tells us that God gave it to them. And their names are recorded in the Scriptures. And God used them, and they bring glory to God by exercising their gift. And they put together, created the temple, or the tabernacle that was in the wilderness. I'll read you one verse, or a couple verses, maybe Exodus 28:3. "And thou shalt speak unto all the wise hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office." So God gives us our gift to be used to bring glory and honor to him. Brothers and sisters, I'm not convinced that we've all found our gift, our spot yet. And if you feel like, you know, I just really don't know, let's talk about it. Because I want everybody at Corinth Baptist Church to be doing what God's gifted you to do. Then we'll be running as efficiently as we possibly can. God has equipped us with whoever's here. God has equipped us to do what He would have us to do to bring glory and honor to Him in Corinth, Maine, and even around the world. In God's appointed leaders of His people, in Joshua, in Deuteronomy chapter 34, it says in verse 9, "And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom." God gave Joshua wisdom to lead the people. If God's gifted you, then you need to do what God has gifted you to do, that He might bring glory and honor to His self through the exercise of your gift. The most precious commodity that we've been talking about tonight is wisdom, not gold. It's interesting, in the New Testament, in the book of James chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, "If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not. Just ask, and it shall be given him," it says. Wisdom. Did you ever pray for wisdom? Pray for wisdom. "Lord, I've got this meeting coming up. Help me to say, give me wisdom. Lord, help me to say things that will be recognized as from you." Now, the enemy of wisdom is pride. Solomon mentions it in Proverbs 11:2, "When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom." With the lowly. If God gave you wisdom, others are going to recognize it as from God, and you need to allow Him to be glorified. Don't accept glory for yourself. We like to do that. Sort of our flesh. We like to be noticed, don't we? Like to be noticed. Thirdly, I'd like to say our Lord later used this lady's trip to put the Jews who were insincere in their place. And I want to have you turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. And look at this. You can leave 1 Kings now. Matthew chapter 12, verse 42. This is over 900 years later. The story's been recorded back in 1 Kings 10 and 2 Chronicles 9. And the Lord Jesus mentions this woman in verse 42 of chapter 12. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost part of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Do you remember the context? Talking to the Jews who wouldn't listen to him. This queen of Sheba came up and she was dazzled by the wisdom of Solomon. And here these Jews are talking to God in the flesh. And they won't even listen to him. They want to put him to death. We have live-in access to the mind, to the wisdom of Christ. Do we seek after him? The Queen of Sheba, she was attracted to the wisdom of God. We have God in our flesh. Are we attracted to that nature within? To that teaching of the Spirit? To that wisdom that's ours for the asking? A few lessons from the story of the Queen of Sheba. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to share these thoughts tonight. I pray that, Lord, we would take to heart those things that we've heard. Father, I pray for each of us that we would exercise our gift, whether it be wisdom or one of the other gifts, Lord, that people would be drawn to your gift in us, and we would have opportunity to point to you and tell of your great glory. I pray, Father, that we would seek after wisdom as we're so encouraged and instructed in the book of Proverbs to seek after wisdom, especially, Lord, when it's so close, to have your precious Holy Spirit living in our own hearts. I pray that we'll not be like the Jews in the day of Christ, but we would be like this woman that we heard about tonight, that we would be drawn to that wisdom that is obviously from above. Father, please make our lives count. Glorify yourself in us and through us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.